I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
It's fall. Do I need to tell you that?
Yes. And you know, it hasn't been very chilly, LaVon, has it? No snow?
No. And it looks like they're not predicting any snow here for a while.
That's good.
I don't know if it's going to catch up with us later. But whatever, let's just enjoy all of this great time that we've had. And it means great flavors, great produce, and one of those is pumpkin.
Yeah, pumpkin is one of my favorite ingredients with which to work when I'm baking because it lends so much moisture to a product. And I, as I was sharing with you before we this broadcast, I said I use pumpkin to develop recipes that don't even have the word pumpkin in the title, just because the pumpkin itself, in my mind, doesn't really shed off that much flavor. We attribute pumpkin to having a certain flavor, but that's because of the spices that we put with it to give it that harvesty pumpkin-y flavor. And so pumpkin is a wonderful medium to evoke warm, great thoughts of what's going to go into your tummy and maybe if turning on the furnace or the fireplace and saying, okay, it's pumpkin time this year.
And the first thing I think most people think of is pie, pumpkin
pie.
I mean, just so traditional. And
maybe
pumpkin bars and occasionally pumpkin cookies, but you've got another recipe for it.
Yes, I do. And it's called Harvest Pumpkin. I'm going to pronounce the word scones, S-C-O-N-E-S. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the history of the pronunciation of this word. Most people would know it as scones, a quick bread item that is a thick treat in order to eat oftentimes for breakfast or with tea. Well, the word originally and the idea itself originated in the British Isles, Scotland, Britain. And the Brits, in looking up some history on this, 51% of the Brits pronounce that word S-C-O-N-E to rhyme with the word gone. Well, okay, that would be scone then. 42% pronounce the word to rhyme with bone or scone.
That's the way most of us here say that, but does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. The rest of them don't. It doesn't matter. They just want to have a good treat and enjoy eating it.
So saying that is for breakfast, for tea, whatever, this is a product that doesn't take lots of time.
No, it doesn't. For this recipe, I just mixed together the dry ingredients in one bowl. Mix together the canned pumpkin. Now, this is not the pumpkin pie filling. This is the canned
pureed.
Yep, pureed pumpkin, along with eggs, butter, cold butter. It's very important to use cold butter cut into small dices, is then cut into the dry mixture.
And so you're kind of using the pie crust technique.
Exactly, yes. And it's very important that these little chunks of butter are not all the way incorporated into the dry ingredients. And why is that? Because those then make those wonderful globules of fat that, once exposed to the heat of the oven, cause air pockets in that product and then allows for a more tender product when it comes out of the oven.
And, you know, and sometimes when we look at instructions and so on, we think everything has to be well mixed. You know, we don't want any of those little lumps. Well, in this case, you do want little lumps of butter.
Yes, that's true. And it particularly mentions that to freeze, once this the scones are all mixed up and shaped, then and put on parchment paper on a baking sheet, then it's recommended to just put this baking sheet into the freezer. Because what it does, again, it wants to get that butter nice and chilled before it goes into an oven. And it goes into a hot oven, 425 degrees. So imagine you coming in from the freezing cold.
What a shock.
Yes, and going into a very, very, or into a sauna. Wow, okay, all of a sudden.
Yes.
You will probably expand a little inside, too, as that happens. Well, this particular recipe does make 2 5-inch circles, or in other words, about 12 scones. And one thing that I discovered in making this, it calls for a 5-inch circle to be drawn or put onto the parchment paper.
Okay, now I was thinking about 5-inch. That would be smaller. I'm thinking of comparing it to a pie crust. It would be quite a bit smaller than a pie crust.
You know what worked really well for that? The lid of my Quaker Oats container. It was about just very, very close to 5 inches. So I traced that on the around my sheet of parchment paper. And it's important to use parchment paper if you have it in order for that the mixture to adhere well to it. If you don't have it, you definitely should not grease the baking sheet because, again, you want that surface to brown and to stick to that baking sheet.
So we've talked about Silpat in the mm-hmm. past. I'm assuming mm-hmm. that would also be appropriate.
Yes. I did, when I made these, I did use parchment paper this particular mm-hmm. time, but I'm a real go-to girl when it comes to using a Silpat on a cookie sheet or a baking sheet. I just like the ease with which I can clean up that okay. Silpat or that baking mat if there's a spillover. And then this recipe also called for, too, if you want to put some additives in. Of course, you can put in dried fruit and nuts. I did, believe it or not, LaVon, I did not put in
you
dried fruit or nuts.
You did not? You're right. I cannot believe that because we usually miss Nini everything, and that means yes. adding something special. But it's nice to know that's an option.
Yes, but I did put in some crystallized ginger. I had some of that on hand. I thought, I need to get this used. So it did happen to have a lot of granulated sugar that was associated with it. And so I just put that crystallized sugar in a sieve and shook out all that granulated sugar because, of course, that would have increased the amount of sugar dramatically in this recipe. The recipe only calls for 1/3 cup sugar, and I know it would have increased it by probably a good 1/8 cup had I not sifted that off.
And that's another clue, I think, that this usually is, as you say, for breakfast or with tea. It's not a sweet cookie kind of thing.
Mm-mm, it isn't. It's very satisfying and very fun to eat. And of course, when after it's baked and comes out of the oven, it's nice and warm. And I decorated mine with crystallized sugar, brushed the tops of the round scones with milk and sprinkled crystallized sugar and a little cinnamon on top to just give it some color and some mm-hmm. sparkle to it because it is a rather dull-looking treat without mm-hmm. sparkle in mm-hmm. my mind. And then, of course, it can be served with clotted cream. It can be served with jams. It can be served just with butter or just eat it plain. It's a great way to have a nice treat. One thing, too, that's very important to do, and the directions will give say so, is once this round circle of dough, this 5-inch circle of dough is made, it then needs to be cut into wedges. And in order to do that, what works really, really well is to have a bench knife or a knife in itself would work too. But run that under cold water first, because then when the dough is being cut, that will prevent any drag from that raw dough catching onto the bench knife and causing some irregular cuts.
Now, when you say bench knife, I'm also mm-hmm. thinking bread knife.
Okay.
I mean, that would work fine.
Sure.
Right?
Yes. I would say that you probably don't want a serrated edge knife. You want a straight
All right.
edge knife.
Okay.
And again, make that cold. And rather than using a sawing motion and cutting it that way, you just want to push straight down into that dough in order to make the wedge pieces. Each round makes 6 wedges, but then the important part, because this dough is about 3/4 to an inch thick in each of these rounds, it's very important to separate those wedges.
Right away, don't let
yes.
them sit there after you cut. Kind of
yes.
scrunch them apart a little bit.
Exactly, and you want around a 1/2 inch of space between them because when those bake, again, because of the thickness, if they don't have that hot air circulating around them, there are going to be some unbaked areas and the scone just will not be very flavorful and very good to eat. Each side of that scone wedge needs to have a baked surface.
Okay, so you're doing this before you bake them.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That wasn't clear initially. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So
Thank
when you.
You
pull them out of the oven, they're already cut and ready to serve.
Yep, that's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, I always thought that scones mm-hmm. took a lot of time. They really don't. It's more like making muffins or mm-hmm. biscuits, or it's pretty fast.
Well, this took me about 15 minutes
yeah.
to put it all together. The baking time was 20 to 25 minutes, depending on your oven. So one thing else I want to point out, too, the amount of pumpkin that's called for in this recipe is about 1/3 of a can. Now, the recipe does call for 2/3 of a cup of the canned pumpkin, but then it also gives a note that says, if you want to get the most use out of the whole 15.5-ounce can of pumpkin, use a shy 5 ounces of pumpkin, which would be a little less.
Kind of divided up into thirds. Mm-hmm. When you dump it out of the can, just divide it up into thirds, and you've got the appropriate amount.
And then you can make that recipe 2 more times, and you've got the pumpkin there ready for it.
Great for a morning brunch kind of thing.
Oh, exactly.
All right.
If you want this recipe, folks, just to go to KJAN.com, click on Programs, click on Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nini. The podcast from today will be there along with a picture of the scones and the recipe for harvest pumpkin scones. Now, if you don't have internet access, please give us a call at KJAN, and we'd be more than happy to send this recipe to you. Remember now, make some fond family memories in the kitchen.